Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Monday, April 4th. All right, let's talk about that first in the nation Amazon Workers Union right here in New York City. That came down after our show ended on Friday. The historic vote at that warehouse on Staten Island was 2,654 workers in favor to 2,131 against. So now what happens? And what does it mean for workers at the rest of Amazon, in the rest of New York, and really everywhere after this milestone during the so-called Great Resignation and after, let's face it, decades of declines in the percentage of private sector workers of any kind in America who are in unions? Joining me now are Jane McAlevey. She's the strike correspondent for The Nation. She's an organizer. She's a senior policy fellow at the University of California at Berkeley's Institute for Research on Labor and Employment. And she's the author of books including A Collective Bargain, Unions, Organizing, and the Fight for Democracy, which came out in 2020 and which she was here for a book interview. Also with us, our Gwen Hogan from WNYC in Gotham, who's been covering the Amazon warehouse story. Hey, Jane. Hi, Gwen. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Gwen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You wrote, "The vote at the Staten Island warehouse, known as JFK 8, is the culmination of 2 years of organizing that started with a walkout during the height of New York City's first pandemic wave." How did we get from there to here?
Yeah, well, this warehouse opened a few years before that in 2018, and there had been sort of murmurings about potential organizing. You know, this job didn't become a hard job during the pandemic, but this was definitely a catalyst for what we've seen in the past 2 years, as we've seen in many other industries, how we saw the pandemic kind of kick workers' drive to improve their working conditions into high gear. So, you know, while many New Yorkers were isolating at home, they started to order a lot of items from Amazon Prime. The workers inside the Amazon warehouse in Staten Island could not stay home. They were, you know, people described to me having to, you know, having even tighter quotas, being continuously monitored, not having access to personal protective gear at the very beginning, and very confusing safety protocols that Amazon was implementing. So, you know, Chris Smalls was one of a group of workers that led a walkout at the end of March in 2020. So we're talking about the very, very height of New York City's worst and first pandemic wave. He was fired very shortly after. The company alleged that he was violating safety protocol because he had been exposed to COVID, but many other workers, he pointed out, had also been exposed to COVID, and they were not put into isolation the way he was. And, you know, he always talks about the importance of essential workers. And you may remember, you know, during that pandemic wave, we had the clap for essential workers. You know, you would stand outside your window and clap for them.
Right.
And folks like Chris Smalls would say, okay, but like, then pay us and protect us. If we're essential, you have to treat us that way. So he did a lot of organizing as an essential worker. And then about 11 months ago, turned those efforts with a group of other organizers into forming a union at the Staten Island warehouse.
And you know what? Let me go right to a caller who I think is one of those brand new union members. And it's Jason in Brooklyn. Jason, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning, Brian. And good morning to all your listeners.
Tell us about yourself a little bit. What do you do? You work at that warehouse, right? Tell us what you do and tell us why you voted to form this union.
That's correct, Brian. I'm a resident in the Brown Hill section of Brooklyn, and I work at the JFK Fulfillment Center that is located at the Bloomfield section of Staten Island. And to give you a little background of what occurred in the first fulfillment center that Amazon has within the New York City limit, I'm a picker. So whatever the customer orders on the Amazon's website, I retrieve the item from the bin, scans the item, puts it in a yellow tote, and sends it via a conveyor belt to the packer.
Mm-hmm. So you're a picker who sends the item to the packer.
That is correct.
And how long have you been doing that work?
So I've been doing this work, Brian, since 2018. So basically since the early days of COVID-19, when Andrew Mark Cuomo, in other words, the former governor of the state of New York, and Warren Wickham Jr., better known as Bill de Blasio, were in office, we, as essential workers, we didn't stop working. None of them closed the Bloomfield facility at all during the early days of COVID-19. Brian, just to have it clear for the record. Staten Island was the borough that has the highest positivity rate during the early days of COVID-19, and not even the former Staten Island president, Jimmy Otto, didn't say anything about this.
And so now that you've voted, and I think we have at least one other person calling in, who's a new union member, and we'll talk to them too. Now that you voted to form this union, what comes next? What are you going to try to negotiate for in a first collective bargaining agreement?
So that process is going to start in early May. Our vice president of membership, Connor Spence, sent out a letter to all Amazon executives, including the general manager, Felipe Santos Dávalos, telling them that we are officially an established union and to negotiate our contract as soon as possible.
But with no particular demands or goals that you're ready to state right now?
Yes, we have about 10 to 13 demands that are already in that letter that our vice president membership disclosed in that letter. And I could tell you some of our demands are longer breaks, higher pay rates, shuttle buses from at least the St. George Ferry, because you have workers, Brian, just to be clear, from all five boroughs, not only from Staten Island itself. You have workers that come as far as Ozone Park in Queens and as far as the northeast section of the Bronx. To give you an example, Pan Bay Park. And just to be clear, Brian, no borough president has said anything about our victory. Zero council members, at least one state senator, zero state assembly people, and no support whatsoever from the federal level. And I was fortunate enough, Brian, to ride the train with Eric Adams at January 1st at 7 a.m.
Huh. Because you ran into him or because he was supporting your unionization effort?
No, Brian, because he was riding the J train from Casiasco Street to City Hall on New Year's Day morning. And since that he was Brooklyn Borough president, he didn't spoke not even in support or against having Amazon a union.
Right.
And he let Amazon established a delivery station in the East New York section of Brooklyn, despite the opposition of the neighborhood.
Interesting. Jason, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much for filling in so much of the details for our listeners. Congratulations on the successful unionization effort. Good luck to all the workers there as you start the negotiation process. As we're talking about the historic unionization vote, the first ever at an Amazon facility in this country took place right here in New York City on Staten Island at a big warehouse that employs thousands of people. The vote came down Friday afternoon. Our guests are Jane McAlevey, who's just speaking, organizer and author and strike correspondent for The Nation, and our Glenn Hogan, who's been covering the specific effort on Staten Island. And we have another worker from that facility calling in. It's Justine in Harlem. Justine, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling us today.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Brian.
I could ask you questions, but is there anything you just feel moved to say right off the bat?
This is very surreal. We very much appreciate, you know, everyone paying attention and giving their support and highlighting the you know, Herculean efforts of the working class people on Staten Island that made this happen.
What do you do there, Justine?
I'm a packer. So I work in AFE2, which is one of the departments that handles objects in one of the last places in the assembly line before it exits our warehouse. But yeah, I take items from objects on shelves around me, and I put them in boxes, and I close up the boxes, and I push them onto an assembly line.
And what would your first priority negotiation demands be once they get down to talks, now that you're in a union?
As Jason mentioned before me, we have a number of sort of immediate demands that we have drawn up from conversations with workers, and we are going to be having department committee meetings to help narrow down those demands sort of in order of preference of the workers, because we actually really do care about being very democratic as a as a union. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know for me personally, I think that much higher pay, an actual living wage, which $18 an hour in New York City is not, as you're aware, you know, we, because a lot of people that work at Amazon actually have, they work there full time, they have second jobs because they can't even afford to take care of their family on the wage that they get there after being exploited for the, you know, fifth biggest company in the world, second richest man in the world.
And
you know, that's literally back-breaking work.
And I see Chris Smalls, the organizer of the union, is calling in, and we're going to get to Chris, who's
Please.
Sort of the
man
of the hour next. But Justine, let me ask you just one question, since he doesn't work at the plant currently and you do, at the warehouse currently and you do. The kinds of tactics that Jane McAlevey was just describing, intimidation or misinformation or anything like that, were you subject to it, or did you witness any of it yourself?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I was in a number of the group meetings, of the captive audience meetings, and those of us who were trying to take a lead on organizing the workers also faced direct retaliation and discipline from HR. So there was also that. So I was very much privy to it, for myself, to my coworkers. And of course there was sort of very famously, there were the arrests, right? A few weeks ago, not just of Chris, but of Jason and of Brett, another organizer, who are workers there. Just, they were accused of trespassing, being on the property, and they worked there. Right. So there was very direct intimidation, including physical intimidation, and we were all witness to it.
Justine, thank you so much for calling in. Good luck to you. And joining us briefly now is the man of the hour, maybe the man of the 21st century so far in American organized labor, Chris Smalls. We asked him to call in, and we're glad that he did. He organized this union as a former worker at that Staten Island warehouse. And Chris, I know you're very in demand right now, so thanks for a few minutes. You've been on the show a couple of times in the past, so welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for coming back on with us, and at this time of all times, I know you're everywhere. Tell everyone in your own words, why do you think you were successful at getting the first yes vote at an Amazon facility when the more established legacy unions could not?
Oh, well, because we're actual Amazon workers. You know, that's just what it comes down to. It. We know the ins and outs of the company. We know the grievances. We know the concerns. We lived them. We lived this reality. You know, I myself, former Amazon employee, supervisor for 4.5 years. I know what these workers go through on a day-to-day. Amazon doesn't know their own employees. They fired me wrongfully, you know. So that and the fact that our organizers, you know, also been a part of this company, invested in this company for several years. Our lead organizers like Derek Palmer, you know, he's a 6-year vet. He opened up multiple facilities. Along with, you know, JFK being around for 4 years. You know, we have a larger influence on our coworkers. We know everybody in our community. We come from our community. And we look like our community. And I think that's the reason why we were able to be successful.
Do you now go on to try to organize other Amazon shops under the banner of the Amazon Labor Union? Or do you focus on collective bargaining here?
Both. We're doing both. We're going to focus on what we have ahead, which is collective bargaining for the contract. And then we have a second election in 3 weeks on April 25th, LDJ5, which is right across the street from JFK. And we, you know, in the last 72 hours, we've been contacted from Amazon workers all over the planet. So we absolutely going to help assist other unions, other facilities unionize under the ALU chapter.
Chris, I want to tell you about something a little surreal I saw online this weekend. This was after the vote, but I was reading a Washington Post article about something else, and a pop-up ad kept popping up from Amazon itself touting its pay and benefits. I don't know if you've ever seen this ad online. It listed at least $15 an hour, health care on day one, up to 20 weeks of paid parental leave, and fully funded college tuition. So I guess my question out of that is, if that's all true, is Amazon an especially bad employer, or is it more of a target because it's big and it's Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world? Why Amazon, and what are your goals?
Yeah, obviously Amazon's going to compare its benefits better than its competitors, which is good, but that doesn't mean that it's a good quality of life. You know, the cost of living in New York is obviously higher, on the rise. You know, gas is going up, inflation, you know, the cost of rent, the cost of food. $15 an hour doesn't cut it anymore. You know, I worked at Amazon. I was capped out at, after 3.5 years, you get capped out at Amazon. I was capped out at $25 an hour. And I had a second job. And there was times where I had a third job as well. You know, and these workers, some of these workers, they do that. They have 2 or 3 jobs to make ends meet. I know workers who get out of work and they clock right into Uber Eats and Uber or Lyft to drive workers to the ferry. You know, so Amazon's benefits is not enough. I think having a union provides better benefits. All unionized workers make roughly $11,000 more than ununionized workers. Their quality of life is better. They provide pensions. And we also provide free college for not just yourself, but your children as well.
Chris Smalls, thanks for calling in and giving us a few minutes. Congratulations on this historic effort. I'm glad we were able to talk to you a couple of times along the way. Just shortly after you were fired from Amazon back around the beginning of the pandemic, and once last year with Jane, as she pointed out earlier, and now at this moment of victory. So congratulations and good luck in the future, and keep coming on with us, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Will do.
Chris Moss, president of the brand new Amazon Labor Union. Jane McAlevey, organizer, senior policy fellow at the University of California at Berkeley's Institute for Research on Labor and Employment, strike correspondent for The Nation, and author of A Collective Bargain, Unions, Organizing, and the Fight for Democracy, and WNYC and Gothamist Gwen Hogan. Thank you both so much for coming on, and thanks again to all you Amazon Staten Island warehouse workers for calling in and being part of this segment. But Gwen and Jane, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.